The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast, a special edition of the Racing Podcast, because we're going to look ahead to the action at the Breeders' Cup in Santa Anita. Some top-class racing to look forward to on both Friday and Saturday. 13 Grade 1s in total. My name is Mark Walton, and I'm joined on the line to look ahead to the action by a form expert and trends expert as well for the Racing Post Weekender, Alistair Whitehouse-Jones. How are you, Alistair?
Not bad, thank you, Mark.
Good man. Now, do you look forward to the Breeders' Cup? Because I've been reading through your stuff in the Weekender, and there's a lot of work going into that. So if you don't, you must have had a torrid couple of days.
I am Breeders' Cupped up to my eyeballs. I really am. Yeah, I've been looking at it for a good, you know, a good 2 weeks, really. So, I'm not, you know, as a rule, I'm not. American racing doesn't totally float my boat, but I think this meeting is, you know, is an absolute pearler. And I know it's got its critics, but it's, you know, a great couple of days. And, you know, there's always, you know, a strong European challenge, and it's such a strong trends meeting as well. It really is. They do stand up year after year. And Santa Anita, you know, it's a great venue, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, we'll move on to the trends, because there are some really key ones, as you mentioned there. But it is a meeting where, for people that don't really follow US racing, they can still really get attached to the Breeders' Cup. You know, the likes of Zenyatta and Wise Dan in recent years. It's one of those, isn't it, where you can really attach yourself to the big names, even if you didn't know much about them to start with.
Absolutely. I mean, of course, the you know, I wouldn't call it the Ryder Cup of racing, but I mean, you know, it's saying something when we even want the French to win. You know, I think, yeah, I mean, there's always a star born, you know, at the Breeders' Cup meeting, and this year it could well be Shared Belief in the Classic. You know, there's never any great European interest in the Classic. I know we've got Toast of New York this year, but I can't really see him winning. But even so, despite the lack of European success in the Classic, it's still the race to watch, and this year most definitely, because they really do think this Shared Belief could be the best they've had in America since the mighty Zenyatta. So that'll be a race to look forward to.
Yes, so we'll move on to that in due course. That'll be the last race we get to. Before we get stuck into the form of the races, Alistair, just talk us through the track and the draw there, because it's quite significant at Santa Anita, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's very un-European track, really. It's tight, it's got a short straight. Surprisingly, you know, the draw isn't massively significant. I mean, you think it would be when, you know, for instance, in the mile, the turf mile, you know, they go around a bend pretty soon after the start. But, you know, despite that, high numbers have done really well in that race, you know, the last decade. So I wouldn't get too bogged down with the draw. The sprint on the turf track is a different animal altogether, but we'll touch on that later. What I would say is, if you're playing on the dirt races, then you really want to be on a prominent racer, because when the dirt is fast, which it is going to be this weekend at Santa Anita, then it, you know, the leaders, very rarely do they come back, and it is hard to make up ground from the rear. So if you're playing on the dirt races, then try and be on a horse that, you know, wants to be fairly handy.
Yep, and hopefully you can point some of those out for us along the way. Let's get stuck into the action then. We start on Friday evening in the 9:25, and this is the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf, which is a Grade 1 over a mile for the two-year-olds. Hootenanny heads the betting with us at 100-30. It's 9-2 for War Envoy. Imperia is 8-1. Nines for Look of the Kitten. Commemorative is 10s, and then 12-1 or bigger prices for the rest. We are non-runner money back on these races as well, so no harm in having a bet now when you're listening to this if you want. Europe have got a pretty good record in this, Alistair. They've won 5 of the last 7 renewals. The main European challenger is War Envoy, but a couple of decent stateside rivals in the shape of Hootenanny and Imperia at the top of the betting there. So what are your thoughts in the Juvenile Turf?
Well, it's a big field to start with. I mean, 16 get a post over a mile, so luck is going to play a part. I think War Envoy, there seems to be an air of confidence behind this horse in the Ballydoyle camp, and as you touched on, Europeans have done well in this. And he's probably our best hope. I mean, he's been keeping on really well in his races back home over 7 furlongs, and, you know, they were top races as well. He's not only bred to do better on proper fast ground, which he's going to get at the weekend, but he'll definitely stay the mile. And in Ryan Moore, you know, he's got not only a jockey riding absolutely the top of his game at the minute, but he really believes in this horse. You know, he's really keen on this horse's chances, and I think he's going to be bang there at the death. You know, granted some luck in running, then War Envoy is a danger to all. There's no doubt about that. The one I do like is Imperia, who is Godolphin owned, but he's trained in America by Kieran McLaughlin, and it's all about his potential, really. But he took a massive step forward on his second start to win the Grade 3 Pilgrim Stakes at Belmont Park, and you know, that's really strong form. I mean, Startup Nation was back in fourth. He'd won a Grade 2 before then, and this horse was, you know, if you watch the rerun, he was really impressive. He had to switch sort of four wide, but once he saw daylight, he quickened up in really taking fashion, and the jockey didn't even touch him with a stick. I mean, it was a performance that really turned the head. And I think the other interesting stat to consider here is the last time McLaughlin ran a maiden in a stakes race was a horse called Soldat a few years ago, and he went on to finish second in both the Pilgrim, the race that Imperial won, and also the Juvenile here at the Breeders' Cup meeting. So he clearly thinks the absolute world of this horse. And the Dam, Cocoa Beach, also ran for Godolphin, and she finished second to Zenyatta. So the family do have history in the Breeders' Cup, and I just think Imperia is a seriously exciting colt.
Okay, Imperia then, exciting in the Juvenile Turf, and 8-1 as well, so not a bad price for any each way backers there. Moving on to the 10.05, the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, a Grade 1 over a mile for 3-year-olds and older, and we have a short price favourite, an even money favourite in the shape of Golden Sense, who won this race last year from the widest draw, similar prep to last year as well, finishing second over 6 furlongs at Belmont, almost identical to last year. He beat Fed Biz in Del Mar as well, who's the 4-1 second favourite. Is it hard to see past this favourite here?
Well, I think it's a bit of a good thing, this. I think a lot of people will be looking upon Golden Sense as one of their bankers of the weekend. You know, his form credentials are absolutely cast iron. As you said, that defeat of Fed Biz in the Pat O'Brien Stakes at Del Mar, you know, that performance looks even better now with the runner-up finishing second to Shared Belief in the Awesome Again Stakes. And, you know, the Racing Post rating that Golden Sense registered that day was, you know, as good as it's got with this horse. It was even on a par with what this horse did when winning this race 12 months ago. And as you said, he overcome stall, I think it was one of the widest stalls 12 months ago. And if you look at that race again, I mean, he was in total command from start to finish. And, you know, he went really hard as well, set really fast fractions, and you know that would have broken another horse, but not this fellow, who just kept going and going. And I just think it's a bit of a good thing. I mean, he was beaten at odds on last time out, but that was over 6 furlongs, which is a completely inadequate test for this horse these days. And in a nutshell, you know, he's just been having a kickabout really over shorter trips, you know, sharpening his game for the day that really matters, and that's this weekend. And I think, granted, luck in running, and hopefully it won't come to that, because I expect this horse to be fairly handy throughout, and Golden Sense is the standout contender.
Okay, Golden Sense then could be a good thing in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. The 10.50 is the third race we're going to look at. This is the Juvenile Fillies Turf, which is a Grade 1 over a mile for 2-year-old fillies. And Sunset Glow is the 11-4 market leader. 11-2 for a sailor. Lady Eli is 6-1. Qualify 13-2. And then it's 12-1 or bigger prices for the other runners. Just starting here with the market leader, Alistair, Sunset Glow. Trained by Wesley Ward, chasing the hat-trick here. She comes in good form, and is a filly we've seen in the UK. She was second in the Albany at Royal Ascot, of course. So what do you make of her at the top of the betting?
Yeah, I mean, that was the last time she was beaten at Royal Ascot behind, of course, Cursory Glance, who went on to win the Moyglare last time out. And, you know, that form looks even better now than it did back then. And she has gone on to better things. I mean, she muscled her way out of trouble in winning last time. And, you know, if you look at these horses before the race, then she's going to dwarf her rivals. She really is an immense physical presence. And that should never be, you know, underestimated at this meeting, where, you know, luck in running counts for a bit. And this filly will just barge her way out of anything. And she's a worthy market leader, I think. I think we can take her on at the prices, but expect her to go well.
Okay. Yeah, who do you take her on with, then?
I think Lady Eli's a really interesting horse. This representing Chad Brown, who's got a really good record at the Breeders' Cup meeting. And this filly is completely unexposed, having won both her races in really taking fashion. I just think she's got what it takes to go well here. She travels strongly in her races, but does possess an absolute terrific turn of pace, and that's what you need around Santa Anita. You know, you need good tactical pace, and then you know, the ability to quicken. And she overcame trouble in running to absolutely hammer rivals in a Grade 3 last time. And what I like is that for a filly yet to be stretched in her races at all, you know, her figures already look really good on paper. You know, I think this filly could be a superstar, and I think you mentioned she was 6-1, and there's a bit of confidence behind this filly. They do think the world of her, and I expect Lady Eli to definitely be in the frame at least. I think qualify is worth a mention. They rode her differently than in the Moyglare when really impressive back at the Curragh last time. Again, this is a filly with a really sharp turn of foot, and she needs quick ground to show it, basically, and she'll definitely get that at the weekend. And I just think this type of race will enable her to, you know, show a significant jolt of improvement. So I'd be against the favourite here in Sunset Glow, for all that I respect her, but I think Lady Eli is the each-way call here at 6-1, and, you know, qualify should go well for Aidan O'Brien.
Okay, nice each-way shape to the race there then in the Juvenile Fillies Turf. Moving on to the final race on Friday evening, the Breeders' Cup Distaff, which is a fillies grade one on the dirt. It's over a mile and 1 furlong, and it's for 3-year-olds and older. Untapeable heads the betting at 5-2, 7-2 for Close Hatches. Don't Tell Sophia is 6-1, 7-1 for Tis Midnight, 8-1 for Belgalanti and Ayotapa, and then 16-1 or bigger prices for the others. Just starting with Untapeable here, Ali. She's won 5 of her last 6. Her only defeat came when she was pitched in against the boys. She takes on her elders for the first time, but 3-year-olds don't have a bad record in this. So what do you make of Untapeable to start with?
Yeah, you've stolen my lines there, Mark.
Sorry.
Absolutely, you've nailed it on the head. I mean, this filly is, you know, on an absolute roll, and as you said, the only time she was beaten was against male opposition. This is her first time against older rivals, but as you touched on, you know, 3-year-olds have been holding their own in this race in recent years. I just think Close Hatches should be favourite. Untapeable is, but Close Hatches would have been favourite, I think, but for that surprise defeat last time at Keeneland, where there were excuses. This horse was second 12 months ago in this race when beaten by Beholder. You know, she's very talented, Close Hatches, and was never going to maintain the fractions last time out when the jockey failed to get a breather into her, and, you know, that ultimately cost her in the closing stages. We know she's a far better horse than that. Bill Mott since then has reported that a couple of other things have come out in the wash after that race, and he reports her to be working, you know, really well again ahead of this assignment. And if we do take that Grade 1 win at Saratoga as a benchmark to her, you know, where she is right now, then I think she's probably a better horse now than when she was beaten in this 12 months ago. So I think the value here is definitely with Close Hatches, but for that excusable defeat last time out, you know, she'd be favourite here without a doubt, ahead of Untapeable, and I take Close Hatches to go one better than 12 months ago.
Okay, Close Hatches then. The selection in the Distaff, that does it for Friday evening. We then move on to Saturday, and we have a further 9 Grade 1s to come on Saturday. And we start there in the 7.05, which is the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies, which is a Grade 1 on the dirt for 2-year-olds over a mile. And Angela Rene heads the betting at 5-2. 9-2 for Conquest Eclipse. By the Moon is 13-2. 7-1 for Christina's Journey. Puka is 9-1. And then 11-1 or bigger prices for the rest. There's a line of form between Angela Rene and Conquest Eclipse from the Chandelier Stakes, which puts Angela Rene on top there, Alistair. But then if you bring into the mix By the Moon, who beat Cavorting, who has beaten Angela Rene in the past, so collateral form ties them together as well. It's a bit of a tricky one to work out, this.
It is, all in all, and I think what that tells you is that Angela Rene is probably a bit short in the market. You know, I think she's there to be taken on. I don't think that was the strongest renewal of that Group 1 Chandelier Stakes by any stretch, and I'd be against it here. The one I'm going to go with, and this filly's quite a price, I think, and that is Puka, who is trained by William Mott. Only won a, you know, an egg and spoon race last time, but did so by 16 lengths and recorded a really impressive figure in the process. What this horse has done is improved significantly with all her 3 starts. And if you actually look at this filly again, she's you know, got considerable scope, and I just feel as though she could be peaking at the right time. You know, it's a big hiking class. She might not be good enough, but I think at the prices, and as you touched on, Mark, you know, there's not a lot between those towards the top end of the market. I think here is a potential improver who, you know, could improve past a lot of them. So at fancy odds, I'd be taking Puka here for the William Watt Yard. Another one to mention would be Christina's Journey, who is unbeaten in two starts. Again, we don't know how good this horse is. The times are nothing to shout about, but it's all about potential with her. And again, there does seem to be a bit of stable confidence behind Christina's Journey. So should be another one to mention. But for me, I'm going to take a chance on impressive maiden winner last time out, and that is Puka.
Okay, Puka is a filly going the right way, and that's the selection for Alistair in the juvenile fillies. We move on to the 7.43 next, which is the filly and mare turf, which is a grade one for three-year-olds and older. It's over a mile and a quarter, and a good race for the Europeans in the past. This Europeans have won 6 of the 15 renewals, and last year's winner heads the betting in the shape of Dank, who's 2-1, 11-2 for Stephanie's Kitten, Day at the Spa 13-2, 15-2 for Just the Judge, Secret Gesture is 9-1, and then 10-1 or bigger prices for the others. Starting with Dank here, Alistair, last year's winner, of course, bidding to emulate Ouija Board in winning this race twice, but her form hasn't been brilliant this term, and I know Sir Michael Stout has been talking up her chances a little bit, but what do you make of Dank?
I like her. Yeah, I mean, she's been off for over 100 days. That's never a major concern at the Breeders' Cup. I'd rather be fresh as paint and coming here, you know, on the return of a layoff than, say, having run twice within the month of October, you know, having run at Ascot or Longchamp, something like that, that sort of prep. So I think you wanted some positivity from the yard to really rely on Dank, given you know, this season's blanks. But Michael Stout was pretty bullish, I thought, the other day. And you know, here's a trainer who lets his horses do the talking. And you know, when the last time I can remember Michael Stout playing up, you know, the chance of one of his horses was Workforce after that gallop at Lingfield, the famous gallop before he went on and won the Derby. And you know, the sort of vibes I'm getting about Dank is that he's pretty positive about this horse's chance, and he definitely thinks she's back to the form she was in 12 months ago. And if that is the case, then, you know, she is without doubt the one to beat. You know, Dubai, she just got no run. Royal Ascot, she was abysmal, but there were excuses. You know, she's going to be back to her peak form this weekend, and she's got everything. I mean, she can hold. She's got the pace to hold a position. She's got a turn of foot. She did get the run of the race last year. In fairness, Warren Moore absolutely excelled aboard her. Had her, you know, in the right position from start to finish, and she won well. So whether things will pan out quite so favourably on Saturday is doubtful. But I still think if Dank produces her A game, then that A game is going to be too good for the rest.
Okay, so it could be one for Europe there then, in the shape of Dank.
Yeah.
The 8.21 is the next race. We're going to look at the filly and mare sprint, which is a grade one on the dirt for three-year-olds and older. It's over 7 furlongs. No groupie doll in the lineup this year, so that opens it up for one or two of the others. And Artemis Agraterra heads the betting at 11-4. Judy the Beauty is 7-2, 9-2 for Sweet Reason. Lee Court 11-2, 9-1 for Stonetastic, and then 10-1 or bigger prices for the others. Artemis Agraterra, Alistair, very impressive on winning the Ballerina Stakes at Saratoga a couple of starts ago. Less impressive at Belmont Park last time, but I'm not sure the trip necessarily suited. I don't know what your opinions are there, but she was a beaten favourite in the juvenile fillies last term as well, so it could be one of those stories where she bounces back. It could be quite a good story if she wins this. Do you think she can?
I do, yeah. I mean, she does need to. The nagging concern about this horse is the dismal run in the juvenile last year when she was a hot favourite, expected to win that, and really fluffed her lines. So hopefully there'll be no repeat of that. And again, if she runs as well as we can, as we know she can, then I think she is the form pick. Yeah, she did make heavy weather of it last time at Belmont, but that was over an extended 6 furlongs, which is on the sharp side. She got behind. To be honest with you, you know, I thought she did well to win it all. And before that, obviously in the Ballerina Stakes, which is always a significant form guide to the Breeders' Cup, you know, she was absolutely imperious. So, you know, won that by 6.5 lengths. If she runs to that Bayer figure, which was pretty impressive, I think it was a number of 103, then I don't think there's many horses in the field that can, you know, that can attain that sort of level of form. And hopefully, you know, she can banish the memory of that dismal failure 12 months ago. I think Artemis Agraterra is the one to beat. I will mention Judy the Beauty, who was, again, a bit unlucky in this last year, finished really strongly for second. And if you look at this horse's form leading up to this year's race, and you could argue that she's a better horse now than she was back then. So Judy the Beauty, I think, will be the principal threat.
Okay, so the market's got it right in the filly and mare sprint. The turf sprint is the next race that we're going to look at. This is at 9.05, and this is a grade one for three-year-olds and older over six furlongs. And before we get stuck into the runners here, Alistair, this is one of those where the course is very tricky, isn't it? Downhill start, a dogleg right, and then straight into a sweeping left. And just looking through the stats, it appears to have won here before in the past. So do you think that has a massive effect here?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, this is a totally unique test. If you've not seen this race, I mean, there's no sprint in the world like it. I think they call it the chicane. And that you're right, they take a dogleg right and then sort of sweep into the straight left. And you'd think, you know, looking at this race, normally you'd think, well, Christ, high numbers haven't got a hope. But a high number is actually an advantage because low numbers get completely screwed on that first bend and often get behind. So it is imperative to have course experience, and for that reason alone we can look beyond Nonne Never, who, you know, has strong form claims, but this will be her first sight of the track, and for that reason alone, as I said, you can't really be considering that horse. Course form means an absolute million here.
Yeah, Nonne Never heading the betting, so it sounds like you're going to swerve that one at 4-1. 11-2 for Rene has got Zip. Undrafted is 7-1. 10s for Bobby's Kitten and Tight End Touchdown. Casper Netcher is 11-1. 14s or bigger for the others. And straight away, you're looking at the likes of Rene's Got Zip and Tight End Touchdown, who placed in this race last year. So are those two on the shortlist here?
That'd have to be. I mean, there's not a lot between them on last year's form. The one I'd prefer is, without a doubt, Rene's Got Zip, who... quite a remarkable profile this horse has got, because it's only actually ran twice on turf, and that has been in this race. This five-year-old mare, far better known for her exploits on synthetic surfaces, but you know, has been placed in the last two runnings of this on her only two turf runs, which is quite remarkable, to be honest. And you could make a case for this horse being unlucky 12 months ago. I mean, at one point, I think she was about three lengths clear turning in, and no wonder she got, you know, those early exertions took a toll in the closing stages, and she got run out of it by, you know, by a really good horse. And if they ride her a little more conservatively this time, then I can see Rennie's Got Zip being bang there.
Okay, so is it her year for you, Alistair?
The one I'm going to go with, and you didn't even mention this horse in the betting, so he's going to be a fair price, and that's Home Run Kitten, who... The beauty about this horse is he comes from off the pace, which isn't a massive disadvantage in this particular sprint, because they do go an absolute breakneck gallop. It is downhill the first few furlongs, and you know they really do let the handbrake off and go lickety-split. And you do get closers getting competitive in this race, and I just hope he doesn't get too far behind. And if he doesn't, and he's anywhere near them, sort of, as long as he can hold his position to halfway, then nothing is going to be finishing better than this horse. He's been reinvented as a sprinter, having previously raced over further. And I just think, given the way that this race often unfolds, that his assured stamina could come in really handy. The other big advantage this horse has got is that he's locally trained. You know, he knows this course like the back of his hand, which counts for, you know, a hell of a lot. And bear in mind that all four renewals of this that have been staged at Santa Anita have gone to West Coast horses. So home advantage counts for a lot. And I just think Home Run Kitten, you know, a really big price could be quite interesting.
Yeah, Home Run Kitten is 14-1. So for a horse so strong on the trends, that looks a pretty nice price, doesn't it?
Yeah, and he's drawing 10, you know, which isn't, you know, which is about where you want to be, really. You know, you've got sort of options from there. He's a three-year-old against older horses, but, you know, at fancy odds, you can take the chance.
Mm. Okay, on to the 9.43 next, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, which is a grade one on the dirt. It's for two-year-olds, and it's over a mile. And Todd Pletcher's got a pretty strong hand here. Daredevil and Carpe Diem, his two runners at the top of the betting. They're 11-4 and 7-2 respectively. 8-1 for Super Colossal. One Lucky Day and his 9-1 with Upstart, and 10-1 for The Great War. Calculator is 12s and 14s or bigger for the others. Todd Pletcher, like I say, he's got a strong hand here. He's got a good record in the race as well. He's won two of the last four and had the runner-up last year in Havana. So are one of these going to win for him?
He's got every chance, as you said. He's won two of the last four. Havana last year was, a little unlucky in getting beat, finished second. It's a race he likes. It's a race that suits the ammunition that he has in the yard. It's just a shame that the Bob Baffett trained American Pharaoh's come out, because that horse would have been favourite, and the market consequently has sort of collapsed a little, and now Todd Pletcher's two horses, are shorter than what they should be, really. But I think the stats point to Daredevil, because Todd Pletcher tends to run his main hope for this race in the Champagne Stakes, the race that Daredevil won last time out. And, I think Daredevil's his number one hope here, ahead of market rival and stablemate Carp DM. That, as I said, that Belmont Grade 1 is a race the trainer targets with his main hope for this. He's won it in previous years with Uncle Mo and Shanghai Bobby. And, in fact, Havana, last year's runner-up, also contested it. So I think everything points to Daredevil being the yard's number one. He's going to take a lot of beating. I mean, he didn't... It wasn't a great time that he clocked in the Champagne Stakes last time out. But you've got to bear in mind that the dirt was described as sloppy. So, whereas the likes of those horses I mentioned who have won it previously and clocked quicker times, did so on faster services. So, this horse was incredibly impressive last time out. Javier Castellano didn't even, break sweat on top. And to record a bare figure of 107, given that, he didn't even go through the gears, is testament to this horse's raw ability. The one concern, and it's a glaring worry, I guess, is that he's unproven on fast dirt. But you've got to bear in mind that his sire, More Than Ready, won his Grade 1 under these sort of conditions that he's going to face at the weekend, also for the same yard. And I think Daredevil is a really exciting colt and is a worthy favourite.
Okay, Daredevil, a worthy favourite in the juvenile. We then get into the four really big races, and the first of those is at 10:22. This is the Breeders' Cup Turf, which is a Grade 1 over a mile and a half, and a race that Europe do well in. They've won 18 of the 30 renewals, including 5 of the last 6. Last year's winner, though, Magician, a late non-runner, and Flincher and Telescope are the 5-2 joint favourites. Main sequence is 11-2, 10-1 for Hardest Core. Chiquita is 11s, 14s for Brown Panther and Imagining, and then 16-1 or bigger prices for the others. Flincher was runner-up in the Arc last time. That looks a pretty good piece of form. We've also got an interesting story with Main Sequence, who didn't really hit his best form over here, but he's unbeaten since moving to America, and it could be a familiar face that undoes the Europeans. So what are your thoughts in the turf?
I think Main Sequence is a really interesting horse. I mean, this horse has his quirks. He flashes his tail. He only does it when he wants to. But end of the day, he's unbeaten since arriving in America. As you touched on, he never really hit the heights expected of him after finishing second to Camelot in the Derby. And, he became really frustrating for David Lanigan. I think he got beat in a listed race at Pontefract, after that. And it was a good move to take him to America, if for no other reason than this horse is a very different animal on fast ground. And, lo and behold, he's unbeaten over there, each run on fast ground. And he was pretty impressive last time, I thought. He's not a horse you want to be taking too short a price about, but 11-2, I think, is... it's not the strongest European raiding party, I don't think, for this race. I think Telescope can be taken on. Flincher had a hard race in the Arc. And I think Main Sequence, provided they go quick enough during the early stages, and I hope they will do, this is the kind of horse that, if he's under pressure two or three out, you can blow your ticket away, because he's not going to find masses. But on fast ground, he will travel supremely well. And if they come back to him, he can sort of get there without doing too much. Then he's got every chance of holding on. He's a fresh horse. He's at the very top of his game. The one concern would be that Rajiv Marar, who has been riding this horse, is actually out of the meeting. So he's a horse that takes a bit of knowing, so that would be a nagging concern. But I'd be willing to take a chance on this horse. He's got the right blend of a good cruising speed and the ability to quicken, and that's what you need to win a turf. You know, it's over a mile and a half, but you really need a 10 furlong horse to get competitive, and that is, for me, is the main concern with Telescope. You know, all this horse's group wins have been over a mile and a half, and every time he's run over shorter at group level, he's been found wanting. So, you know, I think this horse's main sequence has got a far better turn of foot than Telescope, and I'd expect that to count. Flincher is an interesting horse. I mean, horses beaten in the Arc have done well in this down the years, it has to be said, and he's not had a hard season either, because he's been waiting for the ground. He will, you know, relish the conditions at Santa Anita. What concerns me with Flincher, again, he is a real mile and a half specialist. You know, you wouldn't fancy him to win a Group 1 in Europe over a mile and a quarter. So I expect him to run well, but I do expect him to prove vulnerable in the finish to something with a superior finishing kick, and hopefully main sequence will be the one. The horse I just can't have in this race is Brown Panther. I mean, he's 14-1. For me, he should be 40-1. I mean, there's no evidence in his form to suggest that he's got what it takes to be competitive.
Yeah. Okay, so stay away from Brown Panther then.
Without a doubt. If he wins, I'll pack the game up. I'll take up. I'll go and report on ice hockey, I think, because I just cannot see it.
Fair enough.
You know, Conduit, he was a horse that, I mean, he won a Ledger, and he won this, admittedly, but he was a classy animal. As a rule, you need a 10 furlong horse to win this, and you know, I'd definitely be concentrating on horses with good form over 10 furlongs, and Brown Panther lacks that.
Okay, so main sequence for you.
Main sequence for me, Mark. Yep. I think he's a risky one, but you know, if he was 11-4, 5-2, you wouldn't touch him with the barge pole. But at 5 or 6-1, I think he's going to run his race,
okay,
and he'll be thereabouts.
Right, moving on to the Breeders' Cup Sprint next. This is a Grade 1 on the dirt for 3-year-olds and older over 6 furlongs, and Rich Tapestry and Secret Circle are the 4-1 joint favourites. 5-1 for Private Zone. Palace is 6s, Indianapolis is 11-1, and then 12-1 or bigger prices the rest. Interesting this race, because Rich Tapestry is the first ever Breeders' Cup runner from Hong Kong. He's got some pretty decent form in the book as well, when he beat Golden Sense and last year's winner Secret Circle in the Santa Anita Sprint Championship, also course form. So interesting here, Rich Tapestry.
He is interesting. I think he's the one to beat. He's not going to be the selection purely on value grounds, but you know, that Santa Anita Sprint Championship is, you know, as you'd expect, is always a significant piece of form. The one concern, this horse has to be held up, that's how they rode him last time, and you know, they race very differently in America than they do to Hong Kong, and they sort of used it last time as a bit of an educational race, and they held him up, and he just got up in the nick of time. You know, he's going to be a hostage to good fortune, I feel. He is probably the one to beat. They're going to go very fast, and he'll be finishing, but, you know, he needs to have his momentum halted once or twice in a race of this nature, and you're cooked. So he's a dodgy favourite in that respect, for all that you've got to respect his form claims. The one I was going to take a chance on here, and that is Palace, who needs to be ridden similar, in fact, but he's not, you know, he's a lot bigger in the market, and you can sort of take the chance. He was a beaten favourite when third in the Vosborough last time, but, you know, that race just wasn't run to suit. The leaders, they didn't go a great pace early. The leaders got away at half time, and they never came back, and Palace sort of was finishing better than anything else. But this is going to be a completely different kettle of fish altogether. This horse is at his best basically at 6 furlongs, when they go lickety split up front. They come back to him and he can pounce late. That is the plan. He's not a 7 furlong horse. I know his last win was over 7, but he's a far better horse when they go really fast at 6 and he can pounce late. And yeah, he's going to need luck in running, but I think at the current prices you can take a chance on him. And Palace, we know, has the ability to be competitive, so he'd be the call.
Okay, Palace for Alistair there. You mentioned the Vosborough form at Belmont last time. Private Zone won that race, and he's 5-1 third favourite. What do you make of him?
Yeah, I just think if you look at that race again, I can't believe for a minute everything will pan out quite so favourably on Saturday. He's going to have a lot more competition up front. I can't see him lasting home. You know, that last race at Vosborough couldn't have gone nicer for him. And you know, Saturday's going to be a different kettle of fish altogether. A lot of pace up front, a lot of competition for the early supremacy, and I expect it to go to one of the closers.
Okay. The penultimate race on the Saturday is the 11:40. This is the Breeders' Cup Mile, which is a grade one on the turf for three-year-olds and older. And Toronado heads the betting at 9-4, 11-2 for Mustajib, 7-1 for Anadan. Vader is 8, 10s for Seeker Gang. Caro Conti is 12-1 with Tom's Tribute, and then 14-1 or bigger prices the others. No Wise Dan in this year's renewal. He's out with an injury, so that kind of opens it up a little bit. I wasn't necessarily entirely sure about Toronado myself. I know he's got some decent form in his book, but the only time he's run left-handed was at York. I know it was too bad to be true, but does it raise the question mark of how he's going to get on here?
It was too bad to be true, in fairness. I think you can probably put a line through that, but when you when you're playing at 2-1, 9-4, there's enough doubts about this horse, and that is one of them. You know, he's a wonderful looking horse now. As a, you know, he's developed into such a good looking 4-year old, but he's so big and strong, and I've got my doubts about him handling the track. You know, he's got to go around two sharp bends. If you look at his form profile, you know, he hasn't really. I know he handled Goodwood okay, but he wouldn't have encountered anything like this in the past. You know, the stable had one run poorly in this race 12 months ago in Olympic Glory. Admittedly, you know, he's a soft ground horse. He was running on fast ground, so that was, you know, you could see it coming, if you like. But I'm not sure about Toronado here. I think I think he's a 4-1 chance. I certainly don't think he's a 2-1 shot. And you know, also bear in mind the last British trained winner of this was Barathea for Luca Camani back in 1994. You know, the French have done well in it. But we haven't, and I'd be definitely against Toronado at those odds.
Okay. You mentioned the French have done well. They've got a couple of challenges here in the shape of Anadan and Vader. Anadan, I was, you know, he's taken on the very top milers. Can he come into it at 7-1?
I suppose 7-1's about right. The concern with this horse is that he's relying on Toronado not showing his form. He was beaten by Toronado at Royal Ascot fair and square. End of the day, we know Toronado is a better horse than Anadan. You know, I think this horse should be a 10-1 shot. I think it's a Freddie Head factor, really, and the fact that he's a brother to Goldakova, why everybody's thinking, oh, you know, he's going to find a stone of improvement around Santa Anita on fast ground, which could be the case, because Freddie Head's always insisted he wants, you know, better ground to be seen to best effect. He hasn't had that too often in France, but he did get it at Royal Ascot, and, you know, he was fairly well held in third that day, and I think 7-1 is a tad short for this horse. I think, as I said, it's a Goldakova Freddie Head factor. Everybody's factoring that in, expecting this horse to suddenly improve a lot, and I'm not sure that he will. So I'd be against Anadan at 7-1. And Vida has been very well back the last 7 days, so you've got to respect that. But this horse has never won a group race and has basically been disappointing this year. So it's you know, a significant act of faith involved in backing her.
Okay, I sense we haven't got to the one you're going to side with here yet.
Not yet, no, I haven't actually said anything good about any of these horses, but I think Mustajib's interesting. Again, he's not going to be the call, but Dermot Weld's always insisted this horse wants fast ground, he'll get that. I also like the fact he's got 7 furlong form, which is what you need to win a mile round Santa Anita. You know, he had the sufficient speed to win the Jersey at Royal Ascot. He was just so disappointing last time, you know. It's hard to really fancy a horse going into the Breeders' Cup on the back of a modest performance, and that's what that run was. So Dermot Weld's a bit of a genius, and if he thinks he's going to run well, then Mr. G probably will. There can be no excuses, because I think a mile on fast ground on a tight track will suit this horse down to the ground, and he'd be the each way call against, I guess, at fancy odds. But the one I'm going to go with is another horse, I think, at double figure odds, and I think this horse is really interesting, and that is Seek Again, who is a horse a lot of punters will be familiar with. He used to be trained by John Gosden, of course, in Newmarket. Well, I don't know, never really looked a world beater when with Gosden, but he's raised his game since arriving in America. He was only beaten ahead by Wise Dan not so long ago at Churchill Downs. This horse is only 10-1 because, A, he's been given a tricky draw in stall 12, but I did touch on earlier that, you know, horses drawn wide don't have that bad a record in the mile. You can forget his last run when he got absolutely caned. Keeneland only finished 6th, but was nearly put over the rail about 2 furlongs out, and was finishing with some purpose at the time. The horse will like the ground. He's got the form claims. Now that Wise Dan's come out, I think, you know, this horse is now familiar with American racing. he had a nightmare passage last time out. There's Breeders' Cup history in the family. The sire, Speightstown, won the sprint back in 2004. I think granted some luck in running, which you will need, in fairness, from stall 12. I think Seek Again has got what it takes to be thereabouts.
Okay, Seek Again, then nice price at 10-1 in the mile. And we finish with the big race of the evening, the Breeders' Cup Classic, which is a grade one on the dirt for three-year-olds and older, over a mile and a quarter, and potentially the star of the evening. Shared Belief heads the betting at 6-4, 6-1 for Tonalist. Bayern is 7-1 with California Chrome, 11-1 for Toast of New York. Zevo is 14s, and then 16-1 or bigger prices the rest. Shared Belief here, Alistair, he's won all six of his starts. He absolutely battered Toast of New York in the Pacific Classic two starts ago, and then did really well to win the Awesome Again Stakes at Santa Anita. I've been back and watched that race a couple of times. He was hampered and forced to race wide all the way around and still got up to win. Very impressive. It didn't look good if you look at the distances, but in terms of where he's come from to win that race, it's very impressive. He's a real machine, this horse, isn't he?
He is. He could be the star of the show. You know, it was the most blatant case of spoiling tactics you will ever see. You know, last time out in the Awesome Again Stakes, he had, given how, you know, they treated him, he had no right to win that race. And the RPR he recorded of 1.28, you know, already puts him on a par with most classic winners. And that was in a race where just about everything that could have gone wrong did go wrong, and yet he still, you know, ran to that level. As you said, the time before that, he just looked an absolute machine in beating Toast of New York, who, you know, was a fairly reliable yardstick given what that horse did at Maidan earlier in the year. And that Bayer figure that day he recorded of 115 is just off the scale. And, you know, there's no horse in opposition on Saturday that can perform to that level. So they are all relying on this horse for some reason not performing to his best. You know, they're already comparing him with Zenyatta. He needs to win this and win it well to justify that sort of reputation. But he's got the potential to do so. You know, he's a champion at two. He looks as though he's going to be a champion at three. As I said, you know, you can take either of his last two runs, and if he runs to either, then he's going to win this. And there's no reason to believe the race isn't going to be run to suit, because you've got three horses in Big Casanova, Marino and Bayern, who are all fairly one-dimensional, and that they have to go from the front. So this is going to be a truly run race, without a doubt. You know, Shared Belief is a horse that likes to track the pace. As a rule, you know, he's a fairly uncomplicated ride, and I do think this is his to lose. And, yeah, he's no odds. I mean, I think he's 7-4 with William Hill, and you know, I can't say for 1 minute that that's great value. But if you're asking me for the most likely winner of this race, and there's absolutely no doubt in my mind that Shared Belief is that horse. And I tell you what, a furlong out, if he's tanking along like he tends to, then, you know, 7-4 could look pretty good odds.
Okay, well, he's only 6-4 now. So.
Oh, 6-4, there you go. That's just gone. but it's, you know, there's respected opposition. You know, the European horse, Toast of New York, you know, adds an element of intrigue for us Europeans watching. He did do a bit of work on Savills Fibresand, which is a popular port of call now for horses, European horses who are going to go over for the Classic. I think Giants Causeway and Declaration of War both prepped there en route. You know, we haven't won a classic on dirt since the Andre Farb trained Arkangis won in 1993, and that tells you everything about the size of task that faces Toast of New York. But we have gone close. You know, Ribbon Bay, Swain, Sarkey, they all threatened. So you never know. And this horse hasn't had a great deal of racing, so we still don't know how good he could be. But, you know, you look at that, the rerun of the Pacific Classic in which Shared Belief beat him doing cartwheels, and you watch a rerun of that race, and I don't think you'd be rushing to your local William Hills to back him.
Yeah. One we haven't mentioned so far in this race, California Chrome, who was got a lot of publicity over here when he was going for the Triple Crown, beaten in the Belmont Stakes, though, and then only seventh behind Bayern in the Pennsylvania Derby. He's, you know, his form's not brilliant, but apparently his recent homework has been exceptional. So what do you make of California Chrome?
He's a forgotten horse, isn't he? What's the price on him now? Because is he 4-1, which seems quite
7-1.
7-1, okay. He's a horse that, yeah, I mean, he was the star of the show, wasn't he, earlier in the year? But everything's, you know, going AWOL, and he's on a recovery mission. It's very hard to win a classic on the back of laboured performances, and that's what this horse has been producing. But connections are adamant that he's back to his very best. If that is the case, then he can't be ruled out. But I still think Shared Belief is the superior horse.
Okay. Is that what you do with him? Would you back Shared Belief?
I've got to be with Shared Belief. I mean, 6-4 is probably tight enough, but I think he's by far and away the most likely winner. His credentials are so, you know, he's just a horse that is waiting to be crowned champion, and I'll be bitterly disappointed if he gets beat. I really will.
Yeah, we could be talking about this after the race, and 6-4 could look to be a big price if he lives up to his reputation.
So. Yeah, if he's tanking along a furlong out, then he's going to be, what, 1-3?
Yeah.
6-4 look good then.
Yeah.
But he's a champion, this horse, and, you know, he's hard to knock.
Okay. Right, so we've been through all of the grade ones at Santa Anita for the Breeders' Cup. What would be your standout bet, or you can have a couple if you want, for the weekend?
Standout bet? Well, I think, I'll tell you what, if I was going to have, I think Imperia in the first, he was a horse that was, you know, won in such taking fashion last time. I just think he can cope with the rising class in the opening juvenile turf on the Friday. And I do fancy Seek Again. I really do in the mile. I know he's drawn 12, but I think that defeat of Grand Arch in a Grade 2 at Saratoga on his penultimate start, he only won narrowly. But if you watch the VT of that race, he got stopped in his track twice or three times and still won really well. He showed a change of pace to get him out of trouble that you were going to need to win the mile. And, I think he's got that change of gear on fast ground, and I think because the Europeans look vulnerable for one reason or another, I think Seek Again is overpriced at 10-1. If I was going to have a bet at the Breeders' Cup meeting, I would be backing Seek Again each way.
Okay, Seek Again each way then. Fantastic stuff, Alistair. It's been very interesting. A pleasure to speak to you about all of this. Good luck with your picks, and enjoy the Breeders' Cup.
Many thanks, Mark.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.